In 1961, Netherlands, Isabel Den Brave has crafted a life of meticulous solitude in her family's countryside home. Following her mother's death years earlier, she's transformed the house into a sanctuary where every object is preserved with obsessive care. Her carefully ordered existence shatters when her brother Louis brings home his new girlfriend Eva, a woman whose presence immediately unsettles Isabel. There's something about Eva's confidence that disrupts Isabel's carefully maintained control, triggering both irritation and an inexplicable curiosity. The tension between them escalates when Louis announces he must attend a conference and wants Eva to stay at Isabel's house. "It's my house," Isabel protests, but reluctantly agrees when Louis reminds her that technically their Uncle Carol promised the house to him. Eva's arrival marks the beginning of strange disappearances, a spoon, a cake knife, decorative tiles, prompting Isabel to create detailed inventory lists of every household item. Is Eva stealing from her, or is Isabel's paranoia growing unchecked? The question lingers as the two women circle each other in the confined space of the house, their interactions charged with suspicion and something else neither can quite name. The bitter winter of 1944 remains etched in Isabel's memory. The gnawing hunger of the hunger winter famine, tulip bulb soup, the endless search for fuel. After her mother's death, Isabel discovered letters revealing a different shared past than she remembered. The countryside house became her refuge while driving her brothers away, Louis resenting their mother for abandoning Amsterdam, and Hendrik carrying his unhappiness like a shadow everywhere. When her mother died, Isabel's solitude became crushing loneliness. Her relationship with Hendrik remains fraught after finding 15-year-old Hendrik embracing his 30-year-old piano teacher. Their mother's swift reaction, terminating lessons and forbidding contact, triggered Hendrik's departure to an apartment Uncle Carel arranged, creating a permanent rift. Now Eva moves through the house with unnerving natural ease, her presence unlocking doors in Isabel's mind she'd preferred to keep closed. Eva's casual comfort represents everything disrupting Isabel's carefully maintained boundaries. Yet Isabel finds herself inexplicably drawn to this disruption. Isabel occasionally dates Johan, a successful architect who pursues her despite her disinterest. After an evening where Johan repeatedly attempts physical contact, Isabel returns home to find Eva barefoot in the kitchen, absorbed in an art history book. Their conversation about desire shifts when Eva impulsively demonstrates that kisses are nothing, really, a small thing. Instead, it ignites something profound. Isabel is drawn forward by an unfamiliar gravity, their second kiss deeper and electric. Eva's fingers tangle in Isabel's hair. Isabel's hands grip Eva's waist, their bodies press against the kitchen wall. She has never experienced such raw desire. The fact that it's directed at her brother's girlfriend leaves her reeling with shame and confusion. Despite this, Isabel and Eva are drawn inexorably toward each other. When Isabel admits she's never felt such an overwhelming pull toward another person, the air between them grows thick with possibility. Their connection deepens when Isabel discovers Eva suffering from nightmares and climbs into bed to comfort her, sharing breath in an intimacy that feels more profound than any physical act. Isabel and Eva's happiness collapses when Louis calls, demanding Isabel remove Eva from the house because he's met someone named Mary. When told, Eva explodes in frustration, explaining she needs Louis's security because she has nothing. Isabel offers her own resources, but Eva dismisses this as mere charity. After their final night together, Isabel discovers Eva's diary is actually an inventory of household valuables. Confronting her, Isabel learns the items are gone. As Eva hastily packs, her suitcase spills open, revealing broken ceramic pieces from Isabel's home. "You were never supposed to have it. It was never yours," Eva says before leaving. While recovering from fever, Isabel examines the diary again and discovers Eva's full name, Eva de Haas. The truth emerges. Eva was born in Isabel's house, which her father, who died in the camps, had owned before it was sold after his death due to unpaid mortgage. Eva had methodically planned her return for years, pursuing Louis specifically to reclaim what she believed was rightfully hers. After discovering Eva's identity, Isabel visits her mother's old friend, who speaks cryptically about safeguarding possessions during wartime. Returning home, Isabel wraps exactly half her household possessions in newspaper, acknowledging that half was never truly hers to inherit. Isabel finds Eva in a basement apartment in Amsterdam. She places two items on Eva's kitchen table, the diary and a broken piece of china with blue flowers and part of a hare's leg, a fragment connecting to Eva's childhood memories. Their confrontation intensifies as Eva's accusations cut deep, condemning Isabel's willful blindness to wartime atrocities. When Isabel moves to embrace her, Eva initially resists before slowly yielding. Isabel apologizes, declaring she would die at the thought of anything hurting Eva. Eva remains clear-eyed. What if that's you, the thing that hurts? What if it's who you are? What if it's where you come from? Questions that challenge the reconciliation of past with present, inheritance with justice. After their confrontation, Isabel returns to her empty house, feeling its emptiness without Eva or Neelka, who has left to marry. During a walk, she notices the Hebrew inscription on the synagogue, "For my house will be called a house of devotion for all." One evening, Eva returns, freezing from her walk from the station. Isabel shows her boxes containing half the household items she's packed away. Their emotional confrontation culminates with Isabel kneeling before Eva, pressing Eva's hand to her chest, revealing she has arranged for the house to go to her. "It's mine, and it's yours, if you want it." When Eva asks if this means she must take Isabel too, Isabel pleads, "Have me," promising never to send Eva away again. Eva questions whether Isabel's fleeting, changeable heart is her only guarantee. Isabel confirms it is. Eva kisses her hard, then softly, still weeping. "I'll never leave," she promises. "If you are mine, then I am yours." Morning arrives with winter's pink light and silencing snow. Isabel stands by the window, viewing the familiar scene now through Eva's eyes too, an echo of the same story. Eva approaches, touching Isabel's spine gently. When Isabel turns, Eva rises to kiss her jaw. Isabel bends toward Eva's upturned face, a gift. What does it truly mean to safekeep? Not just objects, but histories, traumas, and each other. In war's aftermath, two women bound by history's cruelty discover that possession isn't about ownership, but recognition of pain, responsibility, and love. The house transforms from a repository of stolen things into a place where healing might begin, where the past is acknowledged, where devotion means making room for another's truth alongside your own. Sometimes we must break apart to truly see what we're holding. What we guard most fiercely isn't always what sustains us. In the spaces between what was taken and what remains, we find courage to build something entirely new, together.